Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Ready to take your phone calls. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you after this Bears loss. Bears lose to the Packers 20-19. It was a heartbreaker. Heartbreaker because it was so close. It felt like it was there. It felt like it had been a long time since the Bears had won against the Green Bay Packers, which it had been. But it just, they felt so smug. They looked so smug. Everything was going on. Things that Xavier McKinney was saying about the team. How they were hyping themselves up after playing poorly in the first half. Feeling as though they were going to win the game at all moments. Even at the tail end when it was 3rd and 19 and Caleb Williams. Three straight passes to get the Bears into field goal range. And right then and there, still a moment of believability for the Green Bay Packers. They break the line, tip, a low kick, so to speak, I guess, from Cairo Santos, even though he said he felt good about it and he liked everything that happened. And the Packers end up victorious. It was heartbreaking. But what are your thoughts? When you watch this game, because there are positives, Thomas Brown looked great. Olin Krutz said he looked great because no one had tape on him and they didn't know what kind of plays he was going to run. We'll see next week against the Packers. But he looked great for his first game, I'll tell you that. He looked confident in that booth up there. When you want to see if someone's nervous or not, look at their blink rate. Go back and watch all those clips of Thomas Brown on the broadcast. Blink rate was slow. Why? Because he was confident. You go look at Cairo Santos' blink rate before that field goal. I said it to my dad when we were watching. I said, man, he's blinking way too much right now. The boy is nervous. What'd you think? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phones. We got Brandon out in Morton Grove. Brandon, I appreciate you waiting on hold.
Was good, Gabe. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Always.
Man, the Bears Mitch should give you a raise, man, being the official Bearapist shrink of Chicago, man.
Did you call me a Bearapist? Did you call me a Bearapist?
The official Bearapist.
That's great. I love that.
Man, you know, you're doing a great job, man. I loved your analogy of the bear cub in the cave eating the crow, you know. But, you know, we saw today, you know, that bear cub is starting to grow a little peach fuzz, you know.
Yeah.
Starting to hang out with Nala a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, he's going to be strolling around Pride Rock, man.
Yeah, and then the little monkey is going to come around and tell him, hey, boy, you know what's up? You're supposed to be running this jungle. I like where you're going. Brandon, I'm hyped. You're getting me hyped.
So it is late night radio, man. I just wanted to touch on the script thing real quick. So Ryan Pace does look like that kind of like,
Poles.
You know, like political figure, you know, like that would be, you know, up in the, you know, higher class of echelon of running things. And, you know, Flus, you know, ever since he got that haircut, you know,
yeah,
he's kind of changed his ways a little bit, man. He kind of looks like Pace, and I don't know, just something is a little fishy. And then, you know, with tonight's score, you know, the Chargers are blowing him out in the first half, and then second half, like, no score. And then, like, the Jets game, you know, no, all the missed field goals in all these games, man. It's just very fishy. I don't think it's scripted, but there's definitely, when they go to replay, I think they're looking at the odds, honestly, and like maybe seeing if they can, you know, switch the call.
I think the good thing about the NFL, right, Brandon, is that they do a great job of creating parity, right? And I'm not talking about in the form of officiating. I'm talking about in just true running an organization and trying to make every entity, right, each team in the respective city feel as though they have an opportunity to win, right? Unlike baseball, where it's the juggernauts versus the small market teams, right? In the NFL, everyone has that opportunity, and they do a good job of it. One of my degrees in economics, took a sports econ class, and we talked all about this, about different leagues and how they do it, right? Whether it's the NBA using ping pong balls to get bad teams first picks in the drafts and so on and so forth, and how they do that. But the NFL, right, I mean, can they affect it with officiating? Yeah, but ultimately, at the end of the day, every team has a chance except for, and then there's the outliers of those that have like the exceptional quarterback, right? Which you can't account for that, but you can make your team at least able to compete with them. And I think that's what you see in the NFL. And that's why when you look at the spreads, right? All the spreads for every game, very rarely do you see double digit spreads unless it's the Lions playing the Jaguars, which that was at 13.5, right? But for the most part, even this Bears game, right? The line was at what, 5.5? For the Packers, and this is a team that most people thought were going to blow the Bears out of the water, right? And the Bears, because there is so much parity, a Bears team coming off with so much dysfunction in the last week, they still come out and play a good game to be competitive and almost put themselves in with an opportunity to win. I just think it's more so a credit to the, again, parity of the NFL as opposed to script writing. But I could see where you know, don't get me wrong, Brandon. I can see where it feels that way often, right? But damn, I gotta be honest. If it is real script writing, somebody must hate Chicago. Like, hate it. They must have had a terrible time here. The ex-girlfriend is from here. I don't know what. You know what I'm saying? Like, something is bad and going on because if that were the case. But what do you think the script holds for the Bears in the future from, you know, what you've seen from Caleb Williams and at least the foundation that is already here in Chicago?
Yeah, he definitely is matured beyond his years, man. And, you know, going with Flus, you know, and what Manley was saying, you know, how you got to know what your players are good at. You got to know your team. If you look at around the league at Tomlin, you know, he knows all his players on the roster. You know, you look at Primetime, he knows all his players, what they do well on his roster. So, I mean, like, if we just had a better coach to put our players in a better position to win, that would be better for us. You know, DJ's crying for the ball. Go ahead, put him in the backfield with Roshan. Put him next to Caleb. Run him like Debo. You know, run him like RPO. I mean, you could do so many things with these guys. You know, he's kind of like a Justin. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers today. You know, Justin.
Yeah, Zone read, saw that.
Touchdown. I mean, like, he's making his players work to the best of their ability, using Russ to do what he does well. And I was kind of, you know, that game is so low scoring, kind of fishy that, you know, Russ, he throws these deep shots, but there wasn't any really deep shots in that game. And, but, you know, like Tomlin, like I was saying, he knows how to use his players. I just think we need to get a coach like that can maximize the roster, you know, just like Pat Manley was saying, you know, about Santos. You know, you got to know how your kicker kicks, and it's just all in the details. Like how Kroots was saying, too.
Yeah,
you got to know all the little details, man.
Got to know that stuff because you got to execute properly and efficiently, and that's what's going to get you to the promised land in certain situations. And a field goal kick is no different. You have to execute properly. You have to get the job done. And unfortunately, the Bears just couldn't come with that. And, yeah, it is a result of coaching, and obviously a lot of people are going to point to Coach Flus for that. Brandon, thanks for the call. A lot of people are going to point at Flus. And it sucks, right? I mean, listen, if you're a good human being, like, I get it. You want your team to have a great coach. Cool. Me too. I wanted Flus to be here for the next decade. I wanted Flus, and you should have too, wanted Flus to be Mike Tomlin. You're just talking about him. You should, like, we wanted that for Flus. At least I do. That's the kind of fan that I am. And so, you look at these losses and you're like, damn, dude, you're shooting yourself in the foot. We want to get behind you. 3 wins, 7 wins. Had you gotten to 10 wins, people would have dealt with you. And they would have said, hey, you know what? And that's the thing with a Mike Tomlin, right? Where even if he's hovering around 500, the division might be bad. They're sneaking into some playoffs. But you know he's not a bad coach. Right. And every year he's on the job, he gets to learn more. Right. That's something they talk about with rookie quarterbacks. And it's no different with coaches. Just because you're a coordinator doesn't mean you know what to be doing as a head coach. I'll tell you this one thing. I've been doing radio for, oh my God, 16 years now. I know. Tyler Farrengo's not even 16 years old. I've been doing radio for 16 years. And I was a producer for a very long time. Right, I was a morning show producer for a very long time, and I used to get so frustrated with the host because I'd be telling him what to say, telling him what was coming up next, and his ass will always be messing it up, right? And I'd be like, dude, why can't you do this? And then finally, I got the opportunity to host a morning show, It was my morning show now. And I remember calling him after my first week on the air as my own host, Gabe and Nina. I was like, yo, my bad for always yelling at you. Because even though I was in the room, even though I was there next to you, telling you what to say and thinking you were an idiot for not knowing how to do it, once I got behind the one mic, I realized how difficult it is because you're thinking about so many other things and you're not worried about what the producer is saying. You're worried about what you've got to say before you go on the air so you don't look like an idiot. So again, I say that to say where, you know, Flus is a coordinator and then he comes into that one mic role, that main role, the head coach role, and you are a bit overwhelmed in the beginning. Nobody steps into that role and is just a G off the, you know what I'm saying? They're not from the very beginning. But you know what allows you to get a long leash? You know what allows you to learn on the job? Moments of greatness. Looking like you deserve more time on the job, because if you are given that, then you can turn into something. And Flus, over the last couple of years, unfortunately, has made you think like, ah, you know what? I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't know if he can put it together. But had he had a couple more victories, he certainly could have did that. 312-644-6767. I want to hear from you. What'd you think about this game? It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Got a ton of stuff going on today. I'm going to be handing it off to my guy, Dustin Rhodes, for the pregame show that starts at 5. After that, Mully and Hall take over with great guests. Olin Kreutz at 7, DJ Moore at 8. Bernstein and Harris got a couple good ones, and Anthony Herron and Dan Weeder, then Spiegel and Holmes. They wrap it up. You know what it is. Kurt Warner at 3, Grody at 4, and then my guy, Jalen Johnson. Well, not my guy, but my guy as a fan. Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock with Spiegel and Holmes. I got a weekly reminder on my phone. You should, too. That's great radio out there. All right, great radio right now with you guys. I want to hear what you got to say. Let's go out to Greg out in Wisconsin. Greg, what are your thoughts with Flus, man? A lot of people have been coming down on him, saying the Bears undoubtedly need a new coach. Do you feel that same way?
I do. I believe that start off with it. At times, it seems like in the NFL that you get a GM position and they get it right, and then you get an offensive coach or a new coach and they get it right. It seems I still feel like Poles is getting his end right, and now it's moved down to the coaching. Right, we had to make a move at the offensive coordinator, and that appeared to me to work out pretty well. Nobody has tape on Thomas or anything, how he's calling a game, but they ran more motion. They just ran more plays. They utilized more things. They weren't so stagnant behind the quarterback position. Williams played well enough to lead him to another win, and I believe coaching let him down. In the whole process of the NFL system over the years, when you get to that point, then it's time for a coaching change at the head coach position. And I know that that's coming. But if you look back, he's reached his peak, and I don't believe he's going to take up any further. And I don't think that's a fault on him whatsoever. I just don't think he's learned, like, keep progressing. He's topped out.
That's a great point when you say he's reached his peak, right? Because you think about that often, maybe like in Major League Baseball, NBA even. And when you're looking at the NFL, the assumption is that, you know, you're bringing in a guy to be your guy, not be the guy to well, I guess there are certain instances where you have people that hold you down, but that's interim coaches. This is no interim coach. This is a guy that they thought was going to be able to take them to the promised land and lead their men, right? I mean, you look at the Cubs and getting Craig Counsell. They thought he would be a guy that can add wins to the team via his coaching, right? That's what the assumption was. And then when you look at Flus, like, he should be, despite his resume and despite his experience, should be a guy that can contribute to victories. And it should be either in the form of, you know, what you can contribute to the defensive side of the ball in terms of your expertise, or just overall leadership of men and game management, right? And game management. Big emphasis, capital letters, 27 font, like, game management. I think that's something that he's failed at, unfortunately. Right? In this situation.
Right.
Eber under pressure doesn't Flus, he flubs. That's what's wrong in this situation. And I think that's why a lot of people are asking him for him to get out of there. It, in the future, though, right? Because I talk about this often, Greg, on my show. We talk about solutions, not problems. So the next coach for the Chicago Bears, would you want him to be a defensive-minded coach, like a defensive head coach, kind of a guy that, that needs to hire an offensive coordinator, kind of like what we're in right now, or the offensive coach, like a Matt Nagy, Mark Trestman, that has to lean on that's the, you know, that's their expertise, but they have to go out and hire a defensive person?
So I think what Flus has done, to his credit, is kept the defense in a higher position in the NFL. There was a stat shown yesterday on the game where they're number one inside the 20 of scoring defense. So they hold people a lot inside the 20. They're not really getting given up 40 points a game. So he has added to the team to that level, but that was his level when he came there from Indy, right? He was the defensive coordinator, and Indy had a good defense. The Bears still have a good defense, and will have a good defense for quite a while. Now they just need to get the offensive stuff in line. I don't know if you can trust Eberflus with hiring the right offensive coordinator to get him over that hump, right? I think, like I said, Thomas did a great job. Nobody's got tape on any of the plays that he called. But, again, when it comes down to these games, and I've been a fan for my whole life. I was a sophomore in high school when the Bears won in 85. And I felt horrible when Lovey lost to Indy in, what, 2011. And then I think I don't know if I've felt any worse after a loss than I did yesterday, because it was Green Bay and I live in Wisconsin. So I get to deal with that. And so Brisker put out a post that said he was heartbroken for the fans and that they deserve more. I know as an organization, at some point, they're going to take that to heart and go, yeah, we got to do better because of all the support that we've gotten and get. And that's I think Poles has done a good job. Like I said, now they've reached a point where Flus peaked out. Time to go get another coach and see what happens.
Yeah.
And nothing more to lose now. I mean, the season's over.
At this point, it is. This point it definitely feels that way. Just tough.
It ended yesterday, actually. They needed that win. And so it just was
5-5 would have felt good. I mean, but you know what, guys? And thanks for the call, Greg. And I'm sorry you got to deal with all the cheese heads up there in Wisco. And you know what's worse? I'm trying to think who has it worse. Yeah, it's bad to be a Bears fan in Wisconsin, but I feel really bad for Packers fans in Chicago. It's like, who are you? I told you guys, I live in Oak Park now, and I was at this place called Pete's. It's on Roosevelt and Ridgeland. So I go there because I ordered some bad Chinese food at my dad's house. It was my fault. And I get to Pete's because I want a burger. And I'm sitting there, and these two guys come in with Packers gear on. And I'm wearing my Bears hoodie. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what a loser. Well, you guys are two losers. Like, what are you doing? All right, fine, you won. Like, what? It just made me so mad, but it was a father and a son, so I didn't want to I didn't want to say anything crass, so I just...
Losers.
Losers. You're a loser. If you're from Chicago and you're a Packers fan, there is some childhood trauma that you're dealing with because you just wanted to be opposite of whatever was going on. Like, come sit on my couch. Come sit on my couch and talk to me about your trauma so that way I can help you out.
Well, and like, I forgot who it was earlier. Maybe it was Joe from Cicero talking about the bullies.
Yeah, the bully. Punching
every it feels like every Packer fan is like a bully at this point. They're just trying to taunt you. They're just trying to poke fun at you.
But it's the bully that is going to go tell on you, right? It's not the bully that wants to fight you. Different bully.
Yeah.
It's like the bully that's like, man, and you're like, if you touch me, I'm going to tell.
But like poking fun, basically.
Yeah, because like they were smart or something like that.
Yeah, not like I'm going to beat you the heck up.
Bullying is wrong, by the way. Very wrong.
Oh, yeah.
No one should be bullying.
Yes.
Even as adults, you managers and you bullies that are out there. But it does feel like bullying with this one. Bears lose to the Packers 20-19. 11th straight loss. There were moments the underdog put up a fight. No one thought the Bears were going to be this close. The line was at 5.5. Caleb Williams, 23 for 31 on the day, 231 yards. Took care of the football. Another game, zero interceptions. That is now just one in his last seven. I called for an interception last week. I said, Caleb, Throw the ball more. Be more reckless with it. Who cares? What did he do? Threw a couple up there. Tom Brady called them A-plus throws. Thought that was good. Used his legs as well. 9 rushes, 70 yards on the day. Longest was for 16. DeAndre Swift, most people thought he was going to be used more. 14 rushes, 71 yards with the tutty. 2 catches for 13 yards on the back end on 2 targets. Roschon Johnson, that was the biggest surprise, I guess you would say, if you're looking at the offense of the Chicago Bears and you try to say, what was the biggest difference, Caleb? What was the biggest difference, guys? It's that he used Roschon Johnson more. Tyler, do you remember me last week what I was saying? It's Gabe Ramirez, 670 score. Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Let's do it. Do you remember me last week saying only 2 teams had a secondary rusher rush for one time only, once? And it was the Colts. And it's because they have Jonathan Taylor, which makes sense. He's an ultra back. They don't really love him out of the backfield back there, but ultra back nonetheless. Bears were the only other team with Roschon Johnson. Every other team had used their second back multiple times. So what does Thomas Brown do? Roschon Johnson, 10 carries, 33 yards. And a tutty on that crucial 1-yard run. But the reason why you play Roschon Johnson, so you can punish the other team. And that's what Thomas Brown understood. Hey, I am going to run the ball. But if I'm going to run it between the tackles on first down, and I don't care if I get 2 yards, I'm going to run it with Roschon Johnson because at least he's going to lean forward and it might turn into 7 yards like it did in certain situations.
And not even first downs too. Like, it could be like 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2.
Yes.
Because, like, you're not going to, you know, look at 10 carries, 33 yards and be like, you know, wow, jumping off the sheet. But it's, again, Gabe, the situations they're using him.
Meaningful yards.
Yes. He is your tough downhill runner who you need a couple of tough yards from. It doesn't matter if it's 5, 3, 1. He's going to get them for you.
Yeah.
He's going to be the bruiser.
And they were needed. And I'm glad that he was used that way. Receivers held their own as well. Roma Dunze, 10 targets on the day. You heard Caleb refer to him as my guy. I felt like there was an emphasis there. I keep telling you guys, the whole Caleb Williams and DJ Moore thing is an issue. But Clay Harbor, my guy, said it doesn't matter if they don't like each other. He's like, you know how many guys have success on the football field despite not liking each other? He's like, they just got to show up and play. So I like that. Speaking of, DJ Moore, 7 targets on the day, 7 catches, 62 yards. Talk about efficiency. Don't forget, he will be talking to Mullion Hall today, 8 o'clock. I wonder what he has to say about the game. I'm sure he'll be in good spirits. He's typically a positive guy. Cole Kmet, you love the way he was involved in the game. 3 catches, 42 yards, but meaningful plays like we were talking about. And then, of course, Keenan Allen, 4 catches on 8 targets. Wow, 41 yards. Of course, the big crucial one to put the Bears into field goal range, unfortunately, could not convert, but let's take some calls right here, man. 312-644-6767. The stats will tell you that, hey, Bears had a decent game. Couldn't close it out at the end. Of course, we can have our thoughts about Floos, but what do you think about the game? Let's go out to Big Mo in Indiana. Big Mo, what up?
Hi, buddy. I want to thank you, number one, for keeping me awake at night because I'm a truck driver.
I got you. I'm glad you're awake, too.
I did That missed field goal won me a nice parlay today.
Okay. How much did you win? I got to be nosy because I like to gamble.
I bet $5 and I won almost $6.
Okay. Positive money on the day. Can't be mad at that.
Yeah. I took the Bears and you know, with the points, and the over and under was 40. So they're going for the field goal. I go, well, Bears are going to win. And I'm going, wait a minute, if they kick that, I'm going to lose my parlay. And I said, well, if they lose the parlay, they'll probably lose somewhere else. And then they blocked the field goal. And I go, shoot, I'm still in it. So I did the Lions and the over, the Vikings and the under, Packers, Bears, the under, and I did the Chiefs, Buffalo. I'm a fan of Josh Allen, even though I'm a Bears fan.
Wait. That was the parlay, and you only won $6? That's not, and you bet.
No, I won $600.
Oh, $600. Oh, okay. I was like, wait, that's a big parlay right there. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I had eight lines, and that blocked field goal got me $600.
Got you $600. All right. I don't feel terrible. At least you know. But I got to be honest. It's probably your fault that we lost. That the Bears lost.
No,
you were wishing bad upon them,
today.
Big Mo. You're putting a bad juju thinking, out there. It's your fault. It's your fault.
I'll take the blame.
What did you?
Eberflus is getting enough blame.
What did you think about the game, though, from the beginning? I mean, the way the Bears came out, right? They put a field goal on the board. Some we're not used to seeing. Were you feeling good going into halftime when the Bears are winning? Or you felt like something would happen?
Oh, yeah. I figured the Bears had a chance. I'm sitting there going, they usually get hotter in the second half. You know, they get it going, you know. So I'm thinking they got a shot, you know. Finally beat the Packers. But I wish it would have been the opposite. The Bears were ahead 20-19 after that last kick.
Heartbreaker.
But I'm thinking, well, I lose my parlay, but the Bears at least beat the Packers. I haul newspapers. They print the Milwaukee papers, the Wisconsin papers in Peoria, and I haul them from a semi-load from Peoria, Illinois to Milwaukee on the weekends, and I got to listen to all them Packer fans up there.
They're the worst. So, they're the worst. Mo.
They're not that bad there. They're you know.
I get it.
I remember back when the Bears played a few years back when they played the Indianapolis in the Super Bowl, and I used to deliver Indianapolis then. Oh, they're the worst down there.
Okay. Well, that's good to know that we know the difference between Indy. I think it's a super tie between Indiana and Green Bay. Oh, my goodness. I've been down. I tell people all the time. I travel to go to games all the time, and Indianapolis is up there. It's hard to – you'd be hard-pressed to find a stadium to get me to say that it's better than where the Colts play. It's a really good one. Mo out there on the – all my truck drivers, shout out to you guys that are on the road right now. I know what it's like. You watch the Bears game, and you want to feel comforted. That's what I'm here for. I have a couch. I have an opportunity for you to talk about this game. Bears lose in heartbreaking fashion, a blocked field goal from Cairo Santos. Could have put him on top. Could have got the Bears their victory. Could have been feeling good about the team heading in to go in and face the Minnesota Vikings. But we have thoughts, not only about the coach, but I want to hear your thoughts on Thomas Brown. Again, I thought he did a great job. It's almost weird, right? Like how different the offense looked. It didn't look frazzled. It looked very just, man. And I want you guys to hear from Caleb Williams as well, talking about the offense and what seemed different to him, but I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Your call's next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Was this loss about bad coaching, bad luck, or just more of the same old story? 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Whoa. Oh, what happened there? I was going to tell you, I went and grabbed some. I didn't want to drink coffee because then I can't go to sleep when I get home. So I get hot water from the coffee machine, though. That's the way to do it. And then you just trick your mind into doing that. It's like tricking your mind into thinking that the Bears won. I still haven't got my 60 seconds. That's all I really wanted. 60 seconds. Nobody wants to entertain me. 60 seconds pretending the Bears won. Yes, I'm that sick and twisted in the mind. But if we were that close. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Bob out in Downers Grove. Bob, we were that close to celebrating a Bears victory.
That was a real tough loss. I'm not going to lie. That was a tough one. There were so many things. It's just such a tough league. Like, I mean, you have to be so on point to win any game in this league. So I guess my overall point is Caleb played better than he
True.
Has been.
Undeniable there.
Yeah, but he's still, like, if you're not even looking at the rookie quarterback because, okay, great. I mean, he's still one of the worst starting quarterbacks in the league. So there's no way you're going to win 10 games with that. You need at least an above-average quarterback, right? So I don't know, with that as the backdrop, how you're going to put this on Eberflus. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of Eberflus, but the best thing you can do in the NFL is just have consistency. Coaches get better, too. I mean, so you want to fire everybody, that's great, but who are you going to hire? I mean, you want Ben Johnson, you want the guy from Washington, well, that's going to cost money. There's going to be five teams bidding for him. And anybody thinks that the Bears are going to be the highest bidder isn't paying attention. So I guess my suggestion would be just to stay the course. I mean, Eberflus got screwed on his first year. You want to look at the record, okay. He even got screwed on his second year. So from my point of view, this isn't his third year, it's his first year. You got to line it up with Caleb. You got to keep the consistency, because giving Caleb is not good enough to go and grab a new offense in the offseason when all he wants to do is go to Hawaii. This is the longest year of his life, emotionally, physically, mentally. He's not going to want a new offense to learn it all again. So just stay the course. And, you know, I got a ticket for under 6 wins. I'm a little worried about it. But the idea that they were going to get 10 wins, that was never going to happen. People just got way over their skis on the Caleb.
But why? Stuff. Wait. Stop. Tell me right there. Why did you bet the under 6? Or 6.5?
Caleb is a rookie. Because I completely and 100% am not on the Caleb hype train. It was all hype. I mean, he's better than I thought he was. Like, up until this week, from my point of view, up until this week, he wasn't even a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I'm glad he's decided to take off and run like that, and it looks good. But sooner or later, instead of taking off immediately, you're going to have to stand there and make good throws. He still doesn't throw into tight windows. He still can't push the ball downfield. This isn't coaching. This is him. Like, the idea that Shane Waldron wasn't designing plays for Cole Kmet is crazy. Caleb wasn't finding him. So we're improving, and I would just stay the course. Maybe we get 7 wins out of this. Maybe we get 6. I mean, I don't know. But that would be my thought. It was a tough loss, and it's hard to have perspective. But, I mean, they were improving, and it's real tough to win in this league. Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the call, Bob. Great stuff there. I wish I could have got more from why you hated Caleb Williams. I didn't know if it was because you were a Justin Fields fan, or were you a really big college football fan and you had a, you know, good gauge on who he was. Did you not like the nail painting? I was curious where that came from. I didn't get a chance. You left so fast. 312-644-6767. Caleb did play better. And Caleb is a good quarterback. Is he one of the worst quarterbacks in the league? I don't know. You'd have to go, you know, quarterback play is at an all-time high in the NFL, but when you're going through, I don't know if one of the worst, that's a harsh statement right there. But I'm going to the AFC right now just to take a glance, because that's a tough point that you're making. AFC East, Allen, Tua, Aaron Rodgers, and Drake May. All right, Drake May in there. Aaron Rodgers playing trash, like trash. AFC North, Russ, Lamar, Joe Burrow, Jameis Winston. All right, you're better than Jameis Winston. Maybe on a particular Sunday. AFC South, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, who just had a great game today and a fourth quarter comeback. Will Levis, Trevor Lawrence. Okay, you're knocking a couple of those guys off. And then AFC West, Patty Mahomes, Herbert, then Bo Nix and Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew for sure. He's better than.
Yeah.
How about Bo Nix? Bo Nix has been playing some really good football in Denver lately.
I can't deny it. It's hard. I want to hate on him a little bit. But he's also older than Caleb Williams. I hate.
He's 24.
I hate using that. Yeah,
he's 24.
I know. I hate using that. He's only 24.
He's 20. Yeah. So next year he'll be 25.
Oh, okay. So yeah. He'll be 25 in a couple. In
yeah.
A couple.
Yeah.
Today is Caleb Williams' birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, QB1.
We need some birthday music moving forward. Not right now, but you know what I'm saying? Moving forward. Talked about Caleb Williams and, you know, Bob did. And I wanted to play the clip where Jay Glazer mentions what Caleb Williams said to the team about his role in the firing of Shane Waldron.
Jay, the Bears fired their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, this week. How does this all affect the rookie Caleb Williams?
Well, actually, after he was fired, the next team meeting, Caleb Williams got up in that team meeting and actually apologized to his teammate for his role in this. What I mean by role in this, he didn't go up there and say, oh, I want this guy out. But his role is, obviously, I'm not playing well enough. If the offensive coordinator got fired, there's issues for me as well, for his responsibility as that quarterback. But again, when he did it, a lot of the veterans looked at, all right, rookie, this we want to see. Taking accountability. Good move on Caleb Williams' part.
Jay Glazer, shout out Fox for the audio right there, talking about what Caleb Williams did. And he is that kind of person. If you listen to his presser, I've said it a lot today, tonight, or this morning, you know, you should listen. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. In just a little bit, 5 o'clock, going to be handing it off to my guy, Dustin Rhodes. He got the pregame leading you into Mully and Hall. They start at 5:30, and then, you know, the three guests that they have, exceptional guests, guys. Holden Krutz, you heard him on the post game, just spitting facts, laying the blame heavily on one person and one person only, and that is the guy who leads this team, Coach Flus. DJ Moore, 7 catches on 7 targets, deadly. He'll hang out with Mulligan Hall at 8 o'clock, then Brad Biggs joins them at 9. After that, Bernstein and Harris. They'll have Anthony Heron, who did a fantastic job on Fox 32 in the postgame. He'll join them at 11. Dan Weeder will hang at 1. Then Spiegel and Holmes, our anchor on the back end here on 670 The Score. They'll have Kurt Warner at 3. Mark Grody, my Oak Park boy, the OPB, at 4 p.m. And then I've said it, and I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. Set the alarm. Set the weekly alarm in your phone. 5 p.m., 670 The Score. Jalen Johnson will join the show to hang out. But right now, this is the phone portion. This is the opportunity for you to voice your opinions and your thoughts on this game and what you felt like was the issue with this one. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Diane. Diane, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I'm on I-90, so if you hear noise, it's because there's cars driving past me. Listen, thank you so much for being here. I was a Les Grobstein person. I loved listening to him all the time, and so I really appreciate you staying up late to talk to us all. So thank you.
Of course, of course. I got Grobber's bobblehead right in front of me. I talk to it every time before I go on the air because I already know only one person's listening up there, and it's Grobber for sure.
Well, I'm calling because I don't know if you watched tonight's Sunday night football game, the Chargers and the Bengals. You were probably taking a nap knowing that you had to be up all night here. But I want to compare what the Chargers did in the draft with what the Bears did. Because in the Chargers, they lost a lot of their quote-unquote skilled players. I don't really like that term because everyone on the field is skillful.
Good point.
Is skilled. But they lost, you know, Austin Eckler. Of course, we got Keenan Allen. What's the tight end? Gerald Everett, I think. And then they lost Mike Williams. So they lost a ton of these tools for Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert is a good quarterback. He's not, you know, generational, but he's good. So the Chargers have the 5th overall pick. So what do? Do they get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers, or even Wilmer Doomsie to replace these quote-unquote skilled players? No, they get Joe Alt, a tackle, because they understand that the most important thing is to protect their quarterback, and then they've got, you know, a bunch of, you know, young wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, that Justin Herbert can work with. But he can't work with anyone unless he has a good O-line. And so, like, the first half of tonight's Sunday Night Football game, he was lighting it up. And it's because their management prioritized the offensive line. And what I don't understand is Ryan Poles was an offensive lineman. He knows the importance of that position. So why can't he prioritize that? I have nothing against Caleb Williams. I love Justin Fields. But we could have, it's not Justin or Caleb, it's the offensive line. We could have kept Justin Fields, drafted Joe off, had a better offensive line and protection, and gone from there. I mean, you can see, like, even today, the Steelers used Justin in a couple packages, running packages. But when he was starting for, you know, instead of Russ Wilson, he went, like, what, 4-2 or something? He was doing great. And so I just, you know, I wish him all the best over there. You know, I wish Caleb all the best. I just wish, I guess, if we're saying, oh, I blame Fluce, I blame this person, I blame that person, I blame Ryan Poles. I'm not on the Poles train. Everyone says in Poles we trust. This man, I think there's only two people left on our roster, Cole Kmet and Jalen Johnson. I think everybody else on our roster was either drafted or signed in free agency or traded by Ryan Poles because he wanted to create the team in his own image. So, so I blame Ryan Poles, and as an ex-offensive lineman, he should know better.
Yeah, Isha, Diana, you bring up some great points, right? I mean, wow, when you get to look at the Chargers and the blueprint that they have in front of you and what they prioritized, understanding that the coach that they have can get more out of that team if assembled properly. And for him, he decided to go get a 6'8", 322-pound behemoth in Joe Alt to protect his prized quarterback, which was or is, you know, Justin Herbert. And you see the success that they've had so far. And you're right, the running backs that they had, right? Reclamation projects in Dobbins that's out there. I mean, you look at their wide receiver core. You get we'll talk about reclamations. Quinn Johnston, right? A guy who did exceptionally well at TCU, didn't perform well last year, but I'm sure Coach Harbaugh walked in and said, hey, kid, I've seen you play. You're a monster. Building up his confidence. Ladd McConkey, the same thing. Getting more out of his guys, and it is frustrating to see those things. Poles, I will push back a little bit on the Poles thing, Diane. I do think he's from where the Bears roster was to where it is now in the present, I think he's done a great job of reconstructing it and getting it to the place where it is now. I think he's leaned a bit too heavily in the draft on defense. If you go back and think about, you know, the Javon Dexter and Zach Pickens back-to-back selections, you just say to yourself, okay, even just one of those, or if you'd done a better job of signing a defensive tackle, you wouldn't have to waste two picks on that side of the ball. I think there's moments like that where he certainly could have done a better job addressing the offensive line, taking better chances there. But you kind of talked about why in your own answer, and that he is an offensive lineman, and most people feel like they're an expert in their craft without taking other thoughts, and they think they can, you know, pluck the gem out the same way, especially when you do it with Braxton Jones in the fifth round, who you claim him to be your starting left tackle, and you say, you know, when you go to casino, Diane, and you hit roulette on the first time, you hit your number, you keep thinking you're gonna hit your number. You know, you don't walk away too often. You keep thinking you're gonna do it. And I think that's what happened to Poles. But it's a learning. You know, we talk about Fluce, we talk about Poles, we talk about Caleb Williams, guys that are literally learning on the job at very important positions. And I think, to me, that's the issue with the Bears. They don't have that executive leadership, the someone to lean on in those moments where Harbaugh has it built into him, having already coached in the NFL.
Okay. I will say Ryan Poles did a great job with the Carolina trade. We really made out on that trade. I mean, part of that was luck, but part of it was skill. I'll give him that. But just one more thing about the offensive line. You look at David Montgomery over there. He scored two more touchdowns today in Detroit. And, you know, he's really doing well over there. I mean, better than he's ever done. And why? Because they have an outstanding offensive line. They knew that was a priority. And they may very well win the Super Bowl, probably be in it. Whether or not they win it, I don't know. But they deserve to be in it. So anyway, I appreciate you taking my call. I know I've talked a lot.
No, actually, I just told my producer, I said, this is one of the best calls all night. You're very well informed. You're very articulate. I think you are hitting everything on the head when it comes to this game. I enjoy talking to... Listen, the reason why I do this show and I do it willingly is because I enjoy talking to people, especially about my Chicago Bears. So I could do this all day long. So I appreciate you. Call me next week. I'll be hanging out after the post game as well. Diane, have a great one, all right?
Thanks, you too.
312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. DJ Moore at 8. You like DJ Moore? Me too. 8 o'clock. He's going to be here on 670. If you're up, headed to the gym, make sure when you get back on the road, don't change the channel. Leave it on 670 The Score. That way, when you get back in your car, it's already right there. Whether it's in the morning to listen to DJ Moore at 8, or maybe when you wake up in the afternoon to get in your car to go eat dinner at 5, you can check out Jalen Johnson talking with Spiegel and Holmes. We got stuff for you all day long here on 670 The Score, so make sure you hang out. But Diane, you feel good about the Carolina trade. Of course you do, right? You run into that moment. He pulls the trigger early in that situation. Didn't wait till draft day. Got what he wanted. Gets DJ Moore. And then, you know, but then there's David Montgomery. You know, I get it, though. You did feel like you wanted something. Like David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift has a 54-yarder. And then yesterday a 39-yarder, I think it was, 39 yards. David Montgomery is not going to have that. I guess he's had that a couple times from Detroit. So that's a bet. He didn't do that in Chicago. How about I'll say that. It was the breakaway speed. That's why people enjoyed Khalil Herbert so much. Let's not forget. Got to put in Herbert. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. Yeah, because David Montgomery was bearing down on these teams, and Khalil Herbert came in as the change of pace back. But now they have two good... I mean, it's the offense as a whole in Detroit. I mean, they're absolutely demolishing people right now. And did you see they went for it on 4th and 5 when they were already up 30? And then on 4th and 5 from the 5, they're like, nah, we're going to go for it. They get another touchdown. But again, it's a well-balanced offense. I mean, they have multiple weapons at the wide receiver position. Sam Laporta, they got two starting running backs, and Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. Jared Goff is a sniper out there, you know, super accurate. So their offense is good, and they have a bunch of goons on the offensive line. So, yeah, their offense is good. And continuity, let's not forget. They've been together with Ben Johnson, their same play caller, right? They've done that for a while, and this is the result of it. Jared Goff is good, but people don't think he's a world beater. You don't have Jared Goff in your top 5. Jared Goff's still available in your fantasy football league right now. Maybe not anymore. David Montgomery, nobody wanted to sign him. They drafted Jahmyr Gibbs because they were like, yeah, we got David Montgomery, but we want Amon-Ra St. Brown, same thing. I mean, Jameson was an injury that people were trying to see what was going to happen. So they've done a good job. But the Bears can get there. The Bears can certainly get there. The point that I was trying to make to Diane is that Brian Poles has done a very good job of recreating the culture and the roster of the Chicago Bears. But he didn't say, guys, give me till 2024. He didn't say, give me just till 2024 and I'm going to put the best product on the field. He said, we're building something that is going to be... Listen, we need to be patient with this situation. One more year with Poles. I know people are saying, oh, Poles. You got to give him one more year. One more offseason. There's a great foundation already in place for this Bears team. Quarterback's there. Darnell Wright at right tackle. You know, you got your wide receivers hemmed up for a couple years. And DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. Jalen Johnson signed. You Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards. Those guys are signed. Jaquan Brisker is going to be there. Hopefully he's back and healthy. Like there's pieces in place. And now you just got to go through one more offseason where you know where your weaknesses are. It is glaring. And all you have to do is address those, whether it be via free agency or the draft, to put your team in a position. The team right now that almost beat the Green Bay Packers, the 7-3 Green Bay Packers, that almost, excuse me, came out to a 4-2 start on the season. that team would have better off with two starting offensive linemen, brand new ones. That team's going to look different. 312-644-6767. I want to hear about you, though. Thoughts on the game, the heartbreaking nature of it, and do you think Ryan Poles can get the job done in one more offseason? And will Flus be the guy calling the plays as well? We'll take your calls next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.